Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 2019 CX Day Fresh Thinking Panel, CX Strategy, the Journey Towards CX Maturity, the Power of Knowing Where You Are and Where You're Going. My name is Derek Iverson, and I am a membership community manager with the CXPA, and I'll be moderating today's panel. You can find me at derek@cxpa.org, just in case you have any questions on what it's like to be a CXPA member. I'm your guide. And for those of you that are CCXPs that are watching, you are eligible to submit 0.5 CEUs just for viewing today's panel discussion. So now it's time to introduce our awesome lineup of panelists here today. First off is Carolyn Muse. She serves as a VP of Global Customer Success at NCR Corporation. Previously, she served as Vice President of Dell EMC's Corporation's Total Customer Experience Program. In this role, Carolyn had operational responsibility for engagement with Dell's EMC customers, partners, and employees to drive quality, innovation, and continuous improvement into its products, services, and business operations. Under her leadership, EMC's Total Customer Experience Program was recognized by the Technology Services Industries Association for its innovation and customer commitment, the Temkin Group for Customer Experience Excellence, and by the CXPA for Customer Experience Impact. Carolyn currently serves on the CXPA Board of Directors. Mark Karshies, CCXP Managing Partner at KCA Consultants, is considered one of the leading experts on corporate and service strategy, customer experience, and service quality management in the MENA region. Mark's cross-industry advisory includes corporate strategy, ITSM, customer service and experience strategy, innovation management, integrated KPI and measurement systems, and customer contact channel experience. His fast-growing long list of clients already includes over 50 national and GCC brands and governmental entities. Mark has been awarded the Quality Professional of the Year 2018 Award by the American Society for Quality, reflecting the high appreciation of his work within the profession. Valerie Peck, CCXP's background and professional achievements in the customer experience strategy, CX experience, and journey experience mapping have positioned her as a point person for many projects where it is critical to not only design strategy, but to execute on it. She is equally comfortable in the boardroom and the contact center, and she has considerable functional expertise in executive-level marketing strategy, go-to-market positioning, customer interaction strategy, tactics, and technical solutioning, business processes, content knowledge management, and touchpoint data mart technologies. Her vertical industry expertise includes the financial services, hospitality, retail, healthcare services, high technology, telecommunications, automotive, entertainment, and education sectors. And last but not least, Vicky A. Monhiga, CCXP, combines her leadership of Animal Assisted Happiness, a nonprofit dedicated to enriching the lives of youth through barnyard interactions at their Smile Farm, with her leadership of A. Monhiga and Associates LLC. She is a passionate and experienced catalyst and coach that partners with leaders throughout organizations to identify and drive improvements that matter to employees, customers, and shareholders. Her career started in the early 1980s doing research and translation of how Japan was achieving such high quality results, and continued through high tech and healthcare, employing quality improvement, Lean Six Sigma, customer experience, and design thinking frameworks and methodologies to help organizations be the best that they can be. So clearly, we have an awesome lineup of panelists today, and I'm so excited to get the discussion started now. Our first question, I'd actually like to point this over to Vicky. So Vicky, starting with you, why is it important for CX leaders to understand their company's CX maturity position?
Well, I have to say that originally I didn't put a lot into a maturity model, and I think that might have been because I was fortunate to work in companies that it came from the top and this is just the way we worked. Now, I would say that for companies that are just getting started and for customer experience leaders, having the ability to put kind of a plan on the page with a framework to know where you are and where you want to be without sharing that whole sausage factory with the whole organization is a way to keep the path moving forward.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Vicky. Valerie, I'll point this one over to you.
Sure. So what the first thing that came to mind when you asked this question was, if you don't know where you are, how do you know where you're going? Right? So if you're trying to achieve any type of change or a cultural thrust, knowing where your baseline is, and especially knowing across the different groups in the company, so field customer facing folks, as well as executives, where they think you are is really important so that you can help guide the maturity as they go along and educate each other. I find that everyone kind of focuses on the competition instead of internally of understanding where people are. So knowing where you are and knowing where your different stakeholders are is really important to be able to start affecting change.
Great. Thank you, Valerie. Carolyn, how about you?
So I absolutely agree with all the comments, but I think the key here is really to understand the maturity model, because you need to do an inventory to understand where you're at so that you can then identify focus areas to drive improvements, whether that's in process, engagement, or overall technology. I also believe that it's critical to understand everyone's role impacts the customer experience, has the opportunity to do that. So you really need to understand how you sell that strategy and vision and influence the leadership across the company. I absolutely agree with the comments around every function needs to engage in a common vision and strategy. And ultimately, it's all about putting the customer first. So until you do the inventory, it's really difficult to understand where you are and where you need to be. And I think it's really critical to not only understand from an inside, but also leverage industry capabilities and get validation from the outside in as well.
Some great points, Carolyn. Mark, I'm not sure if you're going to have any sort of struggle kind of building off of these already awesome points, but I'll definitely turn it over to you. Why it's so important for CX leaders to understand where their maturity position really is.
Well, truly, those were already great points. But what we see in practice out there all the time is like a chairman or a CEO coming up. I just went to a conference and I heard about artificial intelligence and chatbots and things like that. I want that too. And everyone obviously jumps immediately to implementing projects and putting it out without even understanding first, who is your customer? What are their needs and expectations? How ready is the IT? Are there bigger fish to fry? And the biggest chunk of work that probably needs to be done by us as quality experience professionals is to curb the enthusiasm a little bit and remind them, yes, a chatbot is nice, which color do you want to have them? If they don't understand that question and they don't really get it, then it clearly means the maturity of the senior management is not there yet for CX. So we need to work a little bit to make them understand what CX actually means.
That's a great point.
Go ahead.
No, absolutely.
I had an experience exactly like that this weekend. San Francisco went down to one runway, and I spent 8 hours in my destination airport with the most wonderful, helpful, smiling, high CX people who absolutely did nothing to actually fix my problem. So, you know, I couldn't have faulted the CX and the pleasantness of anyone had they actually used CX to strategically reroute me to a different airport nearby, or even to tell me that I was going to be 8 hours late and to let me make a decision before I sat in the airport would have been a great strategic decision. So it's to your point, you know, what are you going to do with it? It should not be a reactive experience.
Very good point there, Valerie. Thank you for sharing that story. I feel awful for you, but I'm glad that you finally made it to your destination safely.
No, I didn't. I went home. I
gave
up. Yeah, I learned a new term called trip in vain. All of you consultants probably will know it one day.
Buddy, thank you. Mark, I want to field this question back to you then too. So what are some ways that CX teams can actually assess their maturity, and who would be involved in that process?
For one, everyone needs to be involved, because you need to ask all the stakeholders throughout the organization, what is it actually what you try to achieve, and what do you think what is important? Well, the reason why I'm sitting here with a blank screen in my webcam right now is because obviously the hotel where I'm staying right now in Saudi decided on a Thursday afternoon while all the trainings were going on to test their new system of the Wi-Fi system, and they turned everything off and everyone was impacted. Now, the feedback that, and I give you this example here, the feedback I gave to probably five different people throughout the organization on all the issues that we faced throughout the stay, throughout the whole week, just culminated out. But when I raised them this afternoon, there's a big problem, let's say, with IT, or there's a very important webcast that is about to start. Is anyone helping or not? Now, all those touch points, all those interactions that took place, all the people I spoke to, everyone did it with a smile. Everyone was there fulfilling the KPIs that we say what usually CX is. But they were not able to connect them over together. So when you ask the question of who should be involved, well, actually you need to talk to all of those people to understand what are the touch points, what are the typical problems customers face, and then see it not as like an incident-based approach, but rather, do we see patterns that are kind of like going wrong? What are kind of like the main drivers of satisfaction? What people complain about? Why do people not come back? And again, to my example today, there were so many opportunities where people could have taken up the ball and do it, and they were not. Now, is management available and can they use it in a maturity model? Absolutely not, because no one is speaking to each other. So what's required? Talk to all the stakeholders out there, look for patterns, look for incidents, not only incidents, but see for kind of like what are the root causes behind it. Integrate quality management and CX. It's probably the best way to do it.
Great. Thank you, Mark. And honestly, too, as sorry that I am that your webcam isn't able to connect with us today, it still provided a really great example that you can share for us. So at least that came out of it. So thank you so much. Carolyn, how about you?
You know, I absolutely agree with all the points that Mark just highlighted. The key is to really enable the company from understanding how you leverage CX is not just a focus or an initiative. It needs to be part of the overall fabric in the company. And the only way to do that is to partner with all the key stakeholders internally, but also to partner with your customers. I think one of the transformations that has to continue to evolve is how do we leverage customer requirements in addition to stakeholder requirements to really drive that overall capability to enable us to delight our customers in their journey. And I think that's one of the key things is the only way in order to make improvements is to measure. And when you measure is the only way that you find out how good you are today and then where you really need to invest in order to drive that transformation. And it's like anything, continuous improvement, right? You will always have a program, but what worked yesterday is not going to ideally be the best for tomorrow. So you always need to drive improvements along that journey. So in order to do that, you need to assess. And the key is to get the stakeholder requirements. What is part of their business and how do we enable them to deliver the right outcomes and add value to their customers and consumers?
Absolutely, Carolyn. Thank you. Vicki.
Well, I think I'd just like to build on what Mark and Carolyn were just talking about. I think it's truly answering the basic questions. What's important to the business? How are we doing? Mm-hmm. And how do we know so that we can figure out what our priorities to improve are? And those basic questions also need to be considered with a systems thinking mindset, because an input from one organization becomes an output from another. So it's input, process, output. And that's that whole systems thinking and why I want to re-echo what both Carolyn and Mark have saying. If you don't have a foundation of continuous improvement mindset and methodology, mm-hmm. all your focus in the world on customer experience is not going to matter. So you have to have that foundation as you move into this customer experience realm.
Thank you, Vicki. Valerie, finally to you, what are some of the ways that teams have maturity?
Yep, absolutely. I call it a discipline. And you have to measure all of the elements and categories like your strategy, customer insight, how you design and execute the experience, governance and culture. Culture always is the hardest because, this is a soft, when you say customer first or it's a movement or a discipline, it's soft. It's not like Six Sigma where a manufacturing company can measure every single output and make a decision whether it's working or not. So just again, everybody's had great points. The one I think we just really need to look at is a discipline over time that you have to measure everything. So because people do what they're measured on.
Great, thank you very much, Valerie. Does any of the other panelists have anything to add there to what's already been said?
I just want to add on that 100% agree with you, Valerie, but also we need to constantly, continuously remind ourselves that measurement's not always quantifiable. Mm-hmm. There's the quantifiable measurement on this journey, and that is the soft side. And the soft side is hard, and the hard side is easy, because we all know that if data alone changed the world would already be a different place.
Yep. It's, I always, that brings to mind back in the, when I was working a lot in the phone industry, I had all of the attractions in LA. And what struck me and still holds true is what they said at Disney was, what would Walt have done? And they allowed people and empowered them to put the customer first and to put that qualitative factor in there to allow them to surprise and delight their end users. And it was pretty amazing when they released people to do that.
You know, I think the other piece, just to add on to that, I think the key takeaway too is to really leverage the customers to really drive your operating model around products and capabilities. And when you do that, the company wins, right? So I think that everyone's like, you talk about the soft costs and it's easy with the data and measurement. It's all about, hey, what's the ROI? I need to understand it. But I think when we start to really focus on that, the ROI comes. Because customers help you define the products that they're going to consume. They'll buy more. They'll tell their friends. And I think that that's really where the industry is today, understanding that this is what is required to continue to drive success for every company in every industry across the world.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Thank you. Carolyn, I'm going to keep it on you then, too, this time. So how are CX leaders going to be able to tell when they've been successful in becoming more mature? And how often should they reassess their own maturity?
So the first question, how will we know? Word of mouth marketing is really a true differentiator. That means you'll know when your program and you're successful when your customers say you are. When they tell their peers and colleagues, I recommend your brand. That is the best marketing ever. The other piece is that's how you gain loyalty with customers. They then, you retain that talent, and then you also have that opportunity to grow your revenue, et cetera. And then I think for the second question, you have to continuously review it, right? So it should be something you do as part of your operating model. What's working today, understanding that. So it's not like it's a month over month. It should be part of your overall capability. Mm-hmm. So assessing where we are today and where we need to be. And then the other piece is industry validation. Understanding, let the industry recognize what you've done on behalf of your customers. Because we've all talked about creating this framework. People are like, well, if you create a framework for customers, it should be, you can democratize the data, leverage it, and utilize that regardless of industry. It really becomes part of what you need to run a successful business. And it all starts with the customer.
Great. Thank you, Carolyn. Valerie, I'll turn it over to you.
I totally agree with what's just been said, right? If you see people and, you know, with the license plate of I'd rather be shopping at Nordstrom, or they carry the flag, I always laugh when someone says, what do you do for a living when I'm on a plane? I say, I ask customers what they want, and then we help give it to them, and they buy more. So it truly is a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you do the thing right and you do the right thing, that's a trite statement, but it really lives, and you know that's working, then your numbers absolutely follow. People struggle thinking that CX numbers and metrics should be something different than the business, and I get a lot of questions about that. And the reality is, it is if it's at the root of your organization, then your metrics and your visibility as a company are going to shine, and you know that builds on itself. Or you have longevity like NCR. The roots of that company have gone so long, and because of the customer's focus and the ability to change because of what customers needs has been huge. So, you know, kudos for that.
Great, thank you. And then Valerie, too, just to follow up on that, how often should these organizations be reassessing their own maturity?
I get that asked that all the time, like there's some timeline that you should do it. And my answer always is, how fast can you change? Measuring something or doing an assessment, if you haven't changed, is not going to give you much information, and it'll likely be frustrating. So if you're an agile startup and you can change on a dime, I did some work with companies over the years that the CEO's in a meeting, they go outside, she comes back in and says, that's done, what do you want to do next? That's a way different environment than an enterprise organization that has global considerations and, you know, a lot of things on their plates. So, you know, we often say, you know, if you were doing kind of keep your finger on the pulse of the customer and then you do voice of the employee every 6 months, and depending on your speed of change, every 6 months to a year, that's plenty, because it is a big effort. So, you know, kind of churning people through it makes a lot more work where you could be spending it elsewhere.
Thank you. Mark, I'll turn it to you.
Yeah, probably I want to build on what Carolyn said earlier with then when the customers tell other customers to come to you, that this is a good sign that your system works. However, probably word of caution here, it's the right customers that tell the right friends to come to you and shop. So that is probably one of the things you don't want, the wrong ones kind of like to hijack your brand or hijack your CX. And all of a sudden you get like the worst and the worst and the worst customers coming over and kind of like having this more and more of bad revenue or bad customers coming in. So if the right customers go out there and tell the right friends to come over to you, that's probably what you want to achieve. In the sense of how do you see that it's really working, another factor is probably if the employees start doing CX on their own, that you don't have to do initiatives, that you don't have to drive it, but rather you see pockets of kind of like ideas and initiatives from the people coming up. But more important, that those pockets of initiatives are fully aligned with corporate strategy and with your CX strategy, because that tells you that the people really got it. Just because someone heard of, you know, a project or a good idea by someone else and wants to implement it in his unit, that's not CX and that's not adoption of a proper maturity model or proper strategy. You don't want them to do just anything. You want them to do the right thing and understand what the right thing is without you influencing them. I think those are probably ideas or direction how you can measure it in a better way.
And you should empower them to do it, which so many companies don't.
Absolutely. I mean, that should be a no-brainer. If it's in line with your corporate strategy, the funding and the project budget should be there to implement those items, and the support structure should be there. If it's not aligned, then obviously you have a problem.
Great. Thank you, Mark. Vicky, how about you?
Echoing everything that's already been said, but I would also like to talk a little bit about, not only can you be looking at lots of happy customers and the word of mouth, which I 100% agree, but it's also an employer of choice. So if you are an employer of choice, your employees are your brand ambassadors just as much as your customers are your brand ambassadors. And I think it is that opportunity to connect the dots between the employee experience and the customer experience, ultimately to deliver for shareholder value. The other piece I'd like to bring up is the how often. I think a lot of companies do quarterly business reviews, and I would love to see a shift from a quarterly business review to a quarterly customer experience review. I was very fortunate to get my start in moving from quality and process excellence into customer experience at Intuit, which is an incredibly credible brand of a company, And we did quarterly customer experience reviews where at a leadership team level, we looked at segment by segment, what was the experience that our customers were having? How were we doing? How do we know? And what would be our priorities to improve? And wouldn't it be cool if instead of quarterly business reviews with all of your customers, you actually looked at it from an experience and how well were you delivering on the promise that you made to them?
That is spot on, Vicki. And Intuit has a great brand around how they leverage their employee base as their biggest asset. And I think that's really where you have true differentiation, because empowered employees, three times more focused on making improvements, not because we pay them to do it, but because we empower them to.
Right.
I think that that's really the differentiator. That's right.
Yeah, they believe it. They live it, you know, and it makes them more productive. It makes them happier. And all of that engagement piece just comes naturally.
But I think be careful. I mean, in regards to employee satisfaction here, you got to be careful that there's not necessarily a direct correlation between happy employees equals happy customers. There is many more factors that go in there. Unhappy employees will automatically cause unhappy customers, but it's not necessarily as strong a correlation or really that proof on the happiness side. So we need to be a little bit careful when we push for that.
I just want to step in. I'm not saying happy employees. I'm saying dedicated, driven employees to do the right thing for the customer. And there's a difference.
Yep. But there is a correlation, interestingly enough, that you bring up is that customer loyalty and customer repurchase has very little to do with satisfaction. And customer attrition and has everything to do with dissatisfaction. So interestingly enough, a lot of people go after CX and use satisfaction as the metric or even net promoter score, where the reality is the opposite of the coin there. Dissatisfaction and really understanding that is the empowering element to overcome.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Time for our final question, unfortunately, but I'm going to start with Mark on this one. Are there any limitations to the maturity assessment process that CX leaders should be aware of?
I think the limitation is, have they understood what maturity is and how do you measure the maturity? Before you embark on your transition, you need to be very clear what are the measures, what is it, what you try to achieve, and you assess against the first benchmark. Most maturity systems go in, or most people that want to measure the maturity, they go off the fly with whatever comes their way at that point, whether it's NPS or whatever, and they think that is a good measure. It might not be. So the limitation is very often in not having done a proper benchmark before, and then along the way, choose the wrong KPIs or changing the KPIs. So that's probably one big thing that needs to be prevented.
Great, thank you,
Mark. I absolutely agree. When you talk about the KPIs, and this is something I'm just been with the company now a year, and you have to measure your business model on your operating metrics, but it's really critical to understand CX metrics as part of your overall strategy. Mm-hmm. Because you want to run your business, but if you're making trade-offs from a business perspective that are impacting your customers, you're not those operational metrics aren't the right ones. So I think that's something that we definitely need to continue to drive around. And I know here is what does it mean for customer satisfaction, and how do you leverage those for additional metrics from a corporate end-to-end perspective? That's absolutely great.
What you just said also brought to mind that these assessments become the ends instead of the means. And that happens in so many companies, is that they start getting tied up in the assessment and the scores and the meeting the benchmarks, and they essentially start losing touch with the reason they were doing it in the first place. So making sure that the customer's in the room with you all the time is something that's really hard for a lot of companies. They are much more comfortable not doing that, so they tend to focus in on all good things, but then not necessarily the outcome.
Right. Thank you. Oh, sorry, Mark. Go ahead.
Yeah, and they don't know what good actually means because they have not defined before what is it what they try to achieve. When I was training a group of people just this week, and the idea came up, it's like, okay, we want to train them on Six Sigma and CX, which is kind of like a funny method in the first place. But when we found out, everyone wanted to hear about CX, but the corporate culture is all about risk and cost. So if you don't have the underlying measures in the first place and you know in which direction you want to go, you might as well stop from the get-go because it is just not compatible.
Yeah, that circles back to the first question that Derek asked, right? You don't know where you're going, you don't know where you're going to get.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Vicky, how about you?
I think it really goes back to what business are you in, and you're in the business to make customers' lives better. And if you can't make your customers' lives better, you're not going to stay in business. So if you constantly keep your eye on the prize of we are in business to make our customers' lives better, and then you build a culture of the way we work is that every day everybody comes to work wanting to make their customers' lives better, you'll eventually get there. But it really is up to leadership. There has never been an example anywhere in the world that this works from the bottoms up. It only works from the tops down. And so the leaders have to ask the right questions.
Yep,
absolutely.
Bless you.
That's right. I wrote down the top-down executive advocacy sponsorship. It's going to be part of everybody's mission, vision, and strategy. Top-down, all the way through the organization, all across, but all functional areas need to be measuring customer satisfaction and success.
Great. Thank you.
Six Sigma. I was laughing when you said Six Sigma because I often am really lucky to have a team member that has had Six Sigma training. And I only half jokingly say is if you've got a Six Sigma person and you can give them an injection of emotion, they get CX really well. And they all laugh, but it's true because that's the same thing. This is a discipline or a journey or whatever you want to call it, it is not a set of transactions. And that is just critical in, again, looking at, in the U.S. where we have such a focus on the 90-day cycle that everyone is expecting certain elements. And you can see improvement and you should, but making it CX transactional is almost the biggest limitation you could put on it, in my opinion.
Right. Absolutely. Great. Well, thank you so much, Valerie, Vicky, Carolyn, and Mark. That brings us to the end of our time today. I really appreciate you sharing your thought leadership. I think that you are providing a tremendous benefit to different CX practitioners throughout many different stages in their career, and I can't thank you enough for doing this. And also, a big thank you to you all for watching, and a very happy CX day to you all. I'm hoping that you learned something from our panelists that you can easily implement into your own CX program to end 2019 strong, but still kick off 2020 with a bang. So that ends our time today. Thank you so much again, everybody, and enjoy the rest of your CX day. Bye now.
Thank you.
Thank you.